I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dan Pompey! Dan Pompey! With Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We have the great Zach Zaidman sitting in for David this morning and delighted to bring Dan Pompey into the conversation. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. What a treat to have Zach in today, huh?
Yeah, he's a special kind of guy.
I'm lucky to be talking football with you guys.
I haven't talked to Zach in a while.
I miss the football conversations that we used to have.
Why won't you talk to him?
Some great conversation.
What is it, Dan? Why are you giving him the silent treatment?
No, it's the reverse. Oh, okay. I call him. I go up to him. He gives me a cold shoulder.
He big times you. He's Mr. Cubby.
He does.
I know it.
Yes.
I apologize.
The same to me.
Baseball is it takes up most of my time now.
Yeah.
But let's get to the Bears though, because you've watched this team every single game. You know what's going on behind the scenes. When you look at the offensive issues that the Bears have, what's the quickest way to go about making this team efficient from an offensive standpoint?
Well, you know, as usual, when you have these kinds of problems, there usually is not a simple fix, and there's not one now. I think there's a lot of different factors that have led to their incompetence on offense. And, you know, you could look at execution at virtually every position, I think, offensively on the field. I mean, the only player who you could say really is playing up to expectations is Allen Robinson, right? I mean, is there anyone else? Am I missing somebody? You guys tell me.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right.
So, you know, when you're starting with that, you've got a very difficult a problem to overcome. And I think, you know, their best bet is to probably try to get back to what they did best last year. But obviously they have some different pieces now, especially with the injury to Kyle Long. That's another issue at this point. You know, I still think that simplifying is always a good thing when you're struggling. And, you know, I've been banging the drum about running the ball more ever since last year, and I still think, you know, that's always a good thing. But the problem is they haven't been able to run the ball. They just have not. I don't know if this team is not capable or what's going on. But, you know, when you can't get the ball downfield, it becomes very difficult to run the ball. And it also becomes difficult when blockers aren't getting out to the second level and making their blocks, and you know, the running backs aren't doing everything they could or should be doing either.
Dan, were you surprised by the Kyle Long news? And, you know, it appears that he could well be cut off of injured reserve. I mean, it doesn't appear like he has a future in Chicago. I don't think anybody has implied that that is the case. You know, we saw the incident in the preseason. I know he's hurt. But it seems like the fall from grace was pretty quick here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, if not for the injury, we wouldn't be talking about this. But he clearly has been playing hurt this season and has not been himself. You know, when Kyle Long was Kyle Long, I mean, he was one of the top guards in the NFL. And the question is, can he get back to that point, or has he had so many injuries, so much abuse to his body that, you know, those days are over with. But, you know, the problem is I think he's got something like $8 million coming next year, and the Bears can get out of that. So, you know, you generally do not pay $8 million for a guy you're crossing your fingers on, hoping he can get back to what he was. So, you know, you never know. Maybe they work out a restructured deal or something, and he comes back. He took a pay cut this year. But, you know, if this is the end, you know, he's been a great Bear. I mean, he made our top 100 list in the book, the Bear Centennial scrapbook that Don Pearson and I did of the greatest Bears of all time. And, you know, I think, you know, he'll be remembered fondly for his kind of contributions here in Chicago.
Football's a cruel game that way, because his best years were on some of the very worst teams that the Bears have fielded in their 100-year history. And now the last couple of years, when the Bears have ascended a bit, you know, he's not been able to enjoy that because of the injuries that have ravaged his body and ended his seasons early. Big picture, you look at the NFC. We saw a monster trade yesterday with the Rams acquiring Jalen Ramsey. Are they doing this because when you look at the landscape of the NFC, there is no real top dog at the moment?
Well, I think they're looking at themselves mostly and saying, how can we be the best team that we can be, and how can we get back to what we were a year ago? And I think the Ramsey trade and also the Marcus Peters trade, you know, does two things. First of all, it slaps that team in the face and wakes them up and says, hey, what we're seeing here is not acceptable. We need a change, and we need a new start, and this gives them that. And the other thing it does, it gives them more capability to play man-to-man, which, you know, they felt like with their previous corners, Akib Talib, who's on injured reserve right now, and Peters, they were more of a zone team. And I know they like playing man, and they feel like that can help shore up some of their defensive problems. So, you know, I think it's an interesting move, and it's also a long-term move. You know, you're talking about a, you know, young cornerback who is the best in the game, probably, and a guy who should be a dominant player for many, many years, assuming they can sign him. The other interesting part of this is they did not sign him to a contract extension prior to the deal, so that's something that still needs to be worked out.
You know, the Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third-rounder, a sixth-rounder for Khalil Mack. They got a second-round pick back and a conditional fifth. When you look at that trade and you look at what what the Rams gave up, I got to tell you, I think the Bears got a better deal when you actually just look at it. And, you know, they got a future Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, I agree completely. You know, I think I would do that trade 100 times out of 100 times. I was actually talking with a former NFL head coach last week who was telling me he didn't like that trade because he didn't like giving up two first-round picks for a player, no matter who it was. And, you know, we kind of went back in history. We were going back and forth about some of the trades for two first-round picks, and most of them are not good for the team that was giving up the first round picks, because the player somehow always seems to not live up to expectations. Maybe sometimes the first round picks end up being great picks that turn into stars. But, you know, I think at the point of the trade, there was no way you could say this wasn't a good deal. I think now there's no way you could say this wasn't a good deal. And I would bet that in 10 years, you would still say, I would do that over again. And maybe I'd even throw in another first round pick.
Yeah, even if they didn't want it.
Well, I guess, you know, the other part of this, Molly, too, is, I mean, you know, take a look at two first-round picks of the Bears, any two first-round picks back-to-back.
Oh,
over
that's
the past,
so true, yeah.
You know, I mean, how many of those guys wouldn't you trade for Khalil Mack?
That's an indictment on what they've been doing with the draft, but you're absolutely right about that. My God, it's of course you'd give up those guys, but, you know.
But it's also an indictment of the draft, though. It's not not just the Bears, because there's not many people who you'd say, you know, oh, yeah, you know, every year they've got, or every 2 years they've got two great players that you wouldn't trade for Khalil Mack or another star player in the NFL.
So we talked about this idea, Dan, that the Bears come out of the bye week and they have the toughest stretch of their schedule, right? They're welcoming in the Saints. They're going to San Diego to play the Chargers. They got the Eagles coming in, a big game against the Lions in Detroit, and then of course the Rams. Now, when you look at that, does that seem as difficult as it it once did. I mean, the you know, everybody's week to week in the NFL, and the Saints come in without their quarterback, without Kamara. I mean, I know they've been winning. Chargers don't look like the entity we thought they might be. The Eagles are struggling. Just, I just think when you put all this stuff together, sometimes these schedules, you know, the tough games aren't the games that they, that appear to be. It's not going to be easy to beat the Saints. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it doesn't look like an impossible stretch like it once did.
Well, you know, and if it does, it's because about it's because of what the Bears have become, yes. Not about what these other That's teams right. have become. But, you know, this is a period of time where the Bears are tested. This is every team goes through, you know, a dark night of their season. And this is it for the Bears. And how they respond is going to define who they are. I mean, I think it's a critical stretch for the Bears because they do need to bounce back and show that they are the team that they were against the Vikings and not the team they were against the Raiders. You know, it's interesting because I think we're going to find out about the character of the team and the culture and those kinds of things because that's what stands out when you go through a period like this. And, you know, look at the Saints. I mean, they lose Drew Brees and they go 4-0, actually, 4-0 with Teddy Bridgewater as a starter. And nobody would have thought they could have done that. They've beaten some really good teams, too. And I know they're coming to Chicago now, expecting to win again. I talked with Sean Payton the other day, you know, and, of course, he's from Naperville. He was telling me that my normal trip to Chicago, I have to get 28 tickets for family and friends. He said 24 of them are going to be wearing Bears jerseys. He said, and then they're asking me if I'm going to buy the tickets. He said, I just want them all to know I have to pay for those tickets on the road. So if anybody's listening is getting a ticket from Sean Payton this week, just know he's paid for it.
Yeah, his cell phone is about to blow up right now because of what you just said on the air. Quickly, in terms of league issues, you know, the league meetings taking place, and there's been a lot of talk about the officiating, much more so over the first month plus of the season, and I think the NFL would want. What bothers you the most about what's transpired this season about the officiating?
Well, if we could invent a word, I'd say they've been over-officious. You know, I mean, we've just got way too much attention to detail and meaningless calls. And, you know, I think the officials have become what we're talking about on every Monday. And that's not what the NFL wants at all. Obviously, there was a game the other night that the officials, you know, made so many mistakes in that they prevented the right team, the Detroit Lions, from winning the game, and the Packers won the game. And we've seen these things before. Some of these things are inevitable. They're always going to happen. Football's a hard game to officiate. You know, it's a hard game to write a rule book for. You know, I think over the years, there have always been some problems with officials, but I don't know that, you know, it's ever been as bad as it is right now. You know, they've got to go back and really look at some things. You know, I think they need to look at the replay rule because I think they made it worse and not better. I think they need to have full-time officials at this point just because they need to do something. I don't know how much better that's going to make it, but if you've got guys who are completely devoted to being officials, it's not going to hurt, I could tell you that. You really need to look at the whole structure of how things are being done and who's doing them and seeing if there can't be improvements made at every level.
All righty, Dan. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys. My pleasure. Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.